Well, Dave, the NBA All-Star Game, it's right around the corner here in the pool of starters. It was revealed Thursday evening. You ready for this?
I'm ready, baby.
We know that we got some familiar names, and sure, obviously it's not going to be too shocking to everybody, but let's go through the format here quick first. What's going to happen is there's two captains, and they pick the teams, right?
So it's no longer just Eastern Conference, Western Conference as voted by the fans and the coaches. Now it's a fan vote, a player vote, and a media vote. Then those players are lumped into a general pool of players. The top two vote getters from each conference, they pick their team. Now, that's regardless of conference.
Exactly right. You got the backcourt players and you got frontcourt players, and that's how they divide these up. So, you ready? Well, let's do the Western Conference first.
Okay? I like it. Let's start.
Here's
there.
The Western Conference. The backcourt, of course, the guard, Steph Curry. Yep. He's the number
leading
one
vote getter.
Yeah, the
yes.
leading vote getter. There's no doubt to that. Is he ever going to fall off?
Yes, he will.
He will.
Dramatically at some point. And I'll tell you why. Steph Curry plays this sort of game, Scrady, that's all predicated upon that beautiful, high-arching jump shot. The day in which he loses even a half a step of foot speed,
yeah,
defenders are going to be all over him. That thing's curtains. He does not have the physicality of a Kobe. He doesn't have the quickness of an Isaiah Thomas. He doesn't have the height of Magic Johnson. So, yes, Steph Curry will fall off someday. It might be a while, but, yes, it will happen. And when it does, it will be dramatic and quickly.
27 points per game, 6 assists a game. That's what he averages.
He's a stud.
He is a stud, but the next guy in the backcourt in the West, James Harden, is even more of a stud, if you ask me.
I don't know if I can disagree with that. I mean, Curry obviously has the accolades with the MVP awards and the championships, but James Harden, who, by the way, made his return to the court for the first time in 7 games last night, only scored 10 points. Houston ends up rolling through the game anyhow. Chris Paul led the way with 19-9. I think James Harden is about as good as it gets, and I'll tell you what, Oklahoma City, they gave Steven Adams a $100 million contract. They didn't extend James Harden when they had the chance, and yeah, look at what he's done in Houston.
Well, you're absolutely right. And now, just a comparison, Steph Curry, 27 points per game.
Yeah.
James Harden, 32 points per game.
He leads the NBA in scoring.
Yeah, and Steph Curry, 6 assists a game. Yeah. James Harden, 9 assists a game. So he's leading in scoring, but he's also dishing the ball off, too. Yeah. He's passing.
Well, Mike D'Antoni basically made James Harden a point guard. And this year with Chris Paul as well, they're splitting their minutes. So when the two of those guys play together, they like to rotate out where Harden doesn't play and Chris Paul does. So they're both point guards.
Yeah, and now the front court here, you got Kevin Durant, yeah, of course, from the Warriors. That's an obvious pick, right?
Obvious. No
That's
problem.
An obvious
no
pick.
Problem with that one.
And then to top out the front court,
yeah,
of these top five, you know, to top out the front court,
Western Conference,
the last
guys,
two,
yeah,
the Western, uh-huh, Conference, yeah, the last two, they're both Pelicans.
Yeah, not surprising.
It is to me.
Really?
It is to me. I don't know why, but it is.
The gaudy numbers that those two put up?
It's crazy, but the Pelicans aren't looked at as one of the best teams in the NBA,
no,
right?
But those guys are definitely some of the bigger stars. That's the thing about the NBA more than, you know, Major League Baseball or the NFL. Individuals can stand out above a team. Anthony Davis has, gotten as much accolades as he deserves, maybe even not as much as he deserves. And DeMarcus Cousins, think what you want about the guy, if he's a crybaby or doesn't like the officials. He is an absolute beast. He might be the best big man in the league since Shaq.
You might be right, too. And combined, these guys are averaging over 50 points,
yeah,
a game.
Devastating.
Over 50 points
Devastating.
A game. I mean, I can't believe in 22 rebounds. They average, imagine
about 20
that.
Assists almost. I mean,
yeah,
these guys are great
Your
together.
Your two guys, yeah, over 50, yeah, points a game and 20-some rebounds,
yeah,
a game. That's what you're getting from them. And you can't be one of the best teams in the NBA with that?
Think about the Golden State Warriors. You've got Steph Curry, MVP. Kevin Durant, MVP. Klay Thompson, perennial All-Star. Draymond Green, perennial All-Star. Triple, you know, double threat every night. Those guys together average about 100 points a game in 4 starters. I'm serious. They all average almost 20-something. It's difficult. The Western Conference right now is literally not fair.
It really isn't fair.
Lakers, terrible team. You know what? They've played the 4th toughest schedule in the league.
Well,
why? Because Golden State is in their division.
It's the West. Yeah, that Western Conference.
Horrifying.
It is. It's cutthroat. If you're one of the teams in the top of the West, you're one of the best teams
that's
in the,
right,
NBA.
That's right.
So that's what the West looks like.
And those
now,
are just the starters.
Yeah, those are just the starters.
The reserves will be announced in, I think, a couple weeks.
Yep, I believe, okay, you're right on that. So now the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got the number one guy on there, LeBron James,
sure,
who's the leading vote getter. I don't think this has shocked anybody. It would have been fun if our guy was.
Yeah, Giannis.
But
yeah,
it was for sure going to be LeBron.
Lasted for a while, but I'll tell you, the Milwaukee Bucks, as we've talked about here recently on Overtime Podcast and on our morning show, the Milwaukee Bucks have taken an incredible step backwards. They started off the season with all of the hype. They started off the season with all of the momentum, and the Bucks have taken a step backwards, and I don't think that Giannis isn't a part of that. I think he is, and I think the fans are reflecting that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Kyrie Irving in the backcourt, he's definitely one of them, and you're saying that he's still, well, not only that he's still got it, but he might be better than he was in Cleveland.
I think that he is better now. I don't know what happened in Cleveland because we don't have any reporters that we talk to that are from Cleveland, so we don't get any special insight other than what's on national news. Something changed with Kyrie Irving over the last couple of years. Kyrie is a rookie second-year guy before LeBron got there, not a leader at all, wasn't able to get that Cavs team anywhere, and he was taking all the shots. This year in Boston, he has transformed that team from a, let's face it, they won 56 games and were the number one team in the Eastern Conference last year, but nobody took them seriously, to a team that legitimately scares the folks like Golden State and Cleveland.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. Another guy in the backcourt is a guy from, I think, now the second best team in the East. It's DeMar DeRozan of the Raptors.
Yeah, fair. I don't think that that's a hard point to make, that Toronto right now is the second best team in the East. And realistically, we start to ask the question, who is the third best team? Because I think that Cleveland right now is slipping, and Boston is right there as the number one team. DeMar DeRozan, what is he averaging? Nearly 30?
DeMar DeRozan, 25.
Okay, 25, so big numbers there.
Yeah, it is. It's 25 points per game and 5 assists again. Yeah. I mean, it's not Curry or Harden numbers,
it's close.
Of course. But it, yeah,
25 and 5, close to 26-6.
He
plays also with Kyle Lowry, who is a dynamic point guard who in his own right could probably be an all-star. And I don't know if he'll be voted in this year because he's had some injury problems, but he has been an all-star. That's a good team. That Toronto Raptors club is good. Don't forget the Oklahoma City Thunder, when they traded Serge Ibaka to the Orlando Magic in hopes of keeping Kevin Durant, Orlando didn't make that work. They sent Serge Ibaka to Toronto. That's been a key part of that Toronto renaissance, is having a guy like Serge with that experience from Oklahoma City to help him out up front.
Yeah, and you follow them obviously way closer than I do, but I know that, you know, it's kind of Boston and Toronto are 1 and 2, and then it's kind of everybody else after that.
I think so, and I think Cleveland probably takes that third position, but you could make an argument on any given night for Miami, for Milwaukee, or Washington.
Yeah.
Those are the teams that you could literally make an argument for that spot on any given
night. In Miami, you said Miami?
I did.
Yeah, Miami, which surprises me.
It's unbelievable. Too. That shows you how good of a coach Eric Spoelstra is.
What a weird season that they've had two seasons. They were left for dead last year, too, and then they had that huge streak. Remember that?
I sure do. Well, you have to figure, Dwayne Wade, last year, they didn't re-sign him. He goes to Chicago. Yep. They didn't want to overpay. They lose LeBron the year before. And what have the Heat done? Nothing except for continue to grow.
Right.
That's fantastic. I like that. And if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you know, these things are possible, by the way.
I don't disagree. In the front court then, too, there's two spots left. Yeah. And one of them, of course, Joel Embiid, the center from the Philadelphia.
First All-Star game. By the way, when he got his All-Star game berth, people had asked him if he was going to be able to date Rihanna, because Rihanna said she'd never date Joel Embiid until he became an All-Star. Then he got his All-Star nod. They asked him about it. Said, nope, she didn't want me then. I don't want her now. I got a lot of pretty women out here.
Wait a minute. Now, he was dating her?
No,
he wanted to.
And Rihanna, when asked about Joel Embiid's infatuation with her, she said to folks, you know, the TMZs of the world, Peoples and Us Weeklies, that now she wouldn't date him unless he was an All-Star. So he becomes an All-Star this year. And they were asking him, so what about Rihanna? He's like, no, she didn't want me then. I don't want her now.
Is that
right?
That's right.
He's like, I'm pretty. I'm 7 feet. I'm rich. There's a lot of his exact quote. There's a lot of pretty girls out there.
There is a lot of pretty girls out
there.
And
when you're rich like that, you don't even have to be pretty.
Yeah, and he averages 23 points per game, 10 rebounds per game.
Great player. If he stays healthy, he could be a transcendent type of player.
Second year?
Yeah, it's his second year, but this is technically his fourth year.
Oh, okay.
Because he missed his first two seasons with injury and then played 30 games last year. So, you know, if he stays healthy, great. He's going to be awesome. If he doesn't, he could go down as one of those guys we always wondered about. Sort of like Clark Kellogg. You remember Clark Kellogg? You hear him on college basketball calls. An amazing player in college. He comes out for the pros in the Indiana Pacers. He's averaging 22-10 his first 4 years. Career-ending injury. Never plays pro again.
Well, that center, too, from the Buckeyes.
Greg Oden.
Yeah,
again.
Always wondered what he would have been.
Well, and he doesn't even have a season, and he never had anything close to what Joel Embiid had. But, you'd wonder what would have happened with Greg Oden, Sam Bowie, lot of guys like that. So
there is a lot. And then finally, of course, our guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The freak.
Yep, we love him. He didn't get the number one vote.
It's okay.
I don't think that's a shock to anybody.
No, no. It would have been a nice story, like you mentioned at the top of the podcast, to see him get that number one vote spot. But at the end of the day, the play of the Milwaukee Bucks is determining some of this. And right now, listen, real quick, just comment on Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to watch these games a little bit more in detail with the Milwaukee Bucks. If Giannis wants to be considered the superstar of the league, that everybody is pegging him to be the MVP, he cannot disappear at the end of games. That's my one thing with Giannis. I saw him get punked the other night against Miami, and once he had two or three shots blocked, he took two shots in the fourth quarter and didn't even shoot a shot in the lane. Everything was fading away from the top of the key. Oof. Everybody else followed suit. So I think if he would have continued his aggressive play early, he would have had that.
The Bucks need a leader, and he needs to be that leader.